scriptures for today. It's from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult.
So are we really supposed to let insults go? The Bible gets really challenging sometimes. And in Proverbs particularly, it does these interesting things. We just read that one verse today because it has a whole series of just sort of quick hit sort of things that it says to advise us of things that we should do. And it doesn't really explain it fully. It just tells us. And this is one of them, that if someone insults you, the prudent thing to do is just let it go. Now, one of the things that happens is that we tend to read the Bible according to our own personality. And it's really hard to escape that. But it's important to remember the Bible was not written for your specific personality. We have to try to get past that a little bit. But as soon as we read something, especially something like this, that challenges us to live a certain way that's not always easy, we read it according to our own personality. And so there are some people that never avoid a conflict. They're good with conflict. They're very good with conflict. Now, it's not that they necessarily want to be mean or hateful or cruel to people. There are people like that. But I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about folks that see conflict as the natural order of things. They see conflict as a way you settle things. Now, how are we supposed to deal with issues if we don't have conflict? And they're perfectly comfortable being in conflict with someone. And so these kind of folks that if someone says something they don't like, if someone insults them, they will be very quick to let them know that they don't like that and that that needs to stop. And that feels very natural for them. They have no problems doing that. And so they will look at a scripture like this and think, oh, that's ridiculous. What are we supposed to do? Just let everybody walk on us? Just let everybody say whatever they want to say? Let people get by with whatever they want to get by with? And so they'll kind of scoff at verses like this that say that the prudent overlook an insult. If we overlook it, they'll just keep doing it. And if you ask folks like that about this verse and other verses like it, other things in Scripture like this, that, you know, maybe the prudent thing to do is let it go. And they will say things like, you know, you should overlook it. And they'll say things like, oh, I did let it go. All I did was let them know that I don't appreciate that and they don't need to do that anymore and I'm not going to stand for that. Well, how's that letting it go? Well, I didn't punch them in the face, did I? There are people that believe if you didn't literally punch them in the face that it's letting it go. That they're fine with conflict. And unless it escalates to the point of physical violence, they consider that letting it go. Then there's the other side. There's the people that always avoid conflict, that they never want to have a conflict, that they always want to walk away from a fight, that it bothers them to get into an argument with someone. It bothers them, and they don't want any part of that, and so someone can insult them, say something mean to them, say something hateful, put them down in some way, and they just won't respond. They won't say anything. And so they'll look at a verse like this and sometimes feel validated. Sometimes they feel like, okay, well, God's supporting me in this. I'm doing the right thing. But then they're not really letting it go. There's a couple of ways some people address these things. They won't say anything directly, but they'll stew on it all night. They will remember it and they'll think about it. And they'll churn in their mind, and their stomach will get all tight, and they'll go through their ideas. I can't believe they said that to me. I don't know why I put up with this. I should just say something to them, but I can't say something to them, because then it will just get worse, and I don't know why I listened to all this. And that goes on all night, and maybe for weeks, or months, or years. I worked with a lady one time in a counseling situation. I was working in a hospital at the time as a therapist, and I worked with this lady, and she was just so angry, and she was depressed, and she was anxious, had terrible, terrible psychological issues, but a lot of that stemmed from the fact that she was just really, really angry. And so I talked to her about, you know, trying to get to what's the root of this anger? Where does all this anger come from? And long story short, She had an argument with her sister 50 years ago and had never gotten over it. I said, did you ever tell your sister that you were upset about this? No, it wouldn't do any good anyway. She spent 50 years upset at her sister to the point of just living in bitterness and anger. She was 70 years old, so that's pretty much her entire adult life that she had spent caught up in this anger that she had never confronted, never said anything about, but had not overlooked, had not let it go. And so when we read this verse, the prudent overlook an insult, oh, she didn't do anything directly, but she had not overlooked it. She had not let things go. She had stirred on this her entire life. And so we have people that are very comfortable with conflict, and they will let you know every time you say something that they don't like. And there are people that do not like conflict, and they won't say a word, but they don't let it go either. They just kind of stew on it. And then there are those folks that just want to get even. They may not say something to you directly, but they will find a way to undercut you, to make sure that the score is evened up. We have all these personalities that we bring into these situations, and the Bible says very directly that fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. And we think, what do I do with that? So am I supposed to confront them? Am I not supposed to confront them? Am I supposed to stew about this and think about it and worry about it? Am I supposed to not think about it at all? How do I do that? A couple of things. There's a couple of different ways we can approach this. One is, let's understand what it is that insults us. There are some things that insult us, and there are certain things that don't. If someone said to you, your hair is purple, that's probably not going to bother you a whole lot, because I don't see any purple hair, and those who have it do it on purpose. So if you don't have purple hair and someone says that to you, it's probably not going to upset you a whole lot. And if you did it on purpose, you're probably going to take it as a compliment. So that would not insult people. But if someone says to you, your shirt's ugly, well, you know, maybe it would. So one thing does not insult us, and the other thing does, because one thing we know isn't true, and another thing we think, well, maybe it is an ugly shirt. I don't know if I should have wore that this morning. It starts to get to us because we worry maybe it's a little bit true. See, for instance, if we call someone stupid, that's an insult. But it still matters what context that is in. Okay, if we're talking about, say, academics, and someone calls me stupid in the area of academics. Well, I've been to school, I've got a couple of degrees, and I actually made really good grades. So if someone calls me stupid, I'm going to think, well, no, I'm not. Well, I made good grades. I got evidence to show that's not true. And so that particular thing that might be meant as an insult, I'm not going to bother with that. I can easily overlook that. Because I made good grades in school. I know that's not true. I know I'm not stupid when it comes to school. Now, on the other hand, I am probably, while I'm good at school, I'm probably the least mechanical person in this room. I can't fix anything, build anything, repair anything. I don't even know where to start, all right? The heater in my office is not working. I asked Victor to turn it on for me this morning. I don't know what to do. If it's mechanical, I don't know what to do with it. And so if someone calls me stupid in that area, I'm probably going to say, yeah, I know. And it's probably not going to bother me. I'm going to agree with it. I don't take it as an insult. It's just truth. All right? So some things are not going to bother me because I know it's not true. Some things are not going to bother me because I know it's true and I'm okay with that. That's just my abilities. I don't mind that. Not everybody's good at everything. Then there's those things that I'm more sensitive about. If I know it's false, I don't care. If I know it's true and I've accepted it, I don't care. But if somebody says something that's in between, it's that area I'm more sensitive about. All right, when I was younger, I was fairly athletic. And I liked being fairly athletic. But I'm not as young as I used to be. And I'm not as thin as I used to be. And so if somebody calls me old and fat, I might hurt my feelings. because I don't want to be old and fat. I want to be youthful and athletic. But I know that I am not as youthful nor as athletic as I once was. See, this is getting into an area that I do care about, and yet I might not believe that it's just false if you insult me in that area. That's all that to say is it's not necessarily the insulter that is the issue. It is us. It's our area that we are sensitive about. So why would the Bible tell us to just let stuff go? If there's areas we're sensitive about, why shouldn't we stand up for ourselves in these areas? Well, one is we're a creation of God. And God is perfectly capable of making us into whatever God wants to make us into. And that we are perfectly capable of improving things and is not a matter of someone else to judge us. It is only God's area to judge us. And so that's the first thing. If we're okay with who we are as a person of God and we are improving the areas that God is helping us improve and we know how to improve those areas, then what everybody says about us is not that big a deal. But more than that, the scripture we read earlier from Romans really says something important. This is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's a really big deal. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. None of that says anything about what somebody thinks about you, what somebody says about you. That the joy and the peace within us never comes because we line everybody up to agree with us and never say anything that contradicts us or that we're sensitive about. The hope and peace comes from the Holy Spirit within us. And so if we have that, if we start to live that kind of spiritual life, that we have joy and we have peace, we have those things, and they are secure within us, not because of us and not because someone gives it to us, but because of God. That we have joy and peace, and that our hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. If we have that, what's somebody going to be able to say to take that away? What is somebody going to be able to say to you that's going to take that away if it comes from the Holy Spirit? What is somebody going to be able to say to you, to insult you, that is going to take away the peace and the joy and the hope that the Holy Spirit has given? And if you have peace and joy and hope that comes from the Holy Spirit, what do you care what people say? Possible difference does that make? See, everything comes then in relation to us. The Bible doesn't tell us to let this stuff go so that that person is better off. That person's being a jerk. Okay, but God's able to deal with people like that. That's between them and God. God, the Bible tells us that the prudent thing to do is overlook these insults because it simply distracts us, pulls us into this human arena where we are in this stupid fights all the time with one another, when what we could be living is the hope and the joy and the peace that comes through God. It becomes a very practical element of life. It is not this idea that we're just supposed to be some sort of Christian doormat that everyone walks on and treats us badly. And it's not a matter that we're supposed to take on the world and make sure everyone lines up and treats us the way we want to be treated all the time. It is a matter of neither of those things matter. That if we have the Spirit of God that we are living in, and the peace and the joy and the hope comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have that filling our life, and someone says, you know, you're kind of old and fat. Okay, but I've got peace and joy and hope of the Holy Spirit. So what do I care about what you say? It comes in perspective. It comes in perspective of what we actually have as Christians. Now, on a practical level, then apply this to the life you're living. I know you've got people in your life that are not very nice. There are family. There are friends. Maybe they're not good friends. But there's associates. There's coworkers. There's people that you deal with all the time. That if we let them, will take away the joy of our life. And if we are depending on everyone else lining up and fitting what we want them to be for us to have peace and joy, we're never going to get there. You know, we never say this out loud, but a lot of people live their entire life believing, you know, I could be happy if everybody would just do the right thing. If everybody would quit being the way they're being and be the way I want them to be, then I would be perfectly happy. Well, yeah, good luck with that. We never say it out loud, but how many times do we spend our life trying to do exactly that? Trying to make sure everybody in our life acts the right way. Or, if we're not confronting that, turning over it, thinking about it, fussing about it in our own minds, having those pretend arguments that we have in our head that we would really confront them if we actually did it. And then we wonder, where is my peace? Where is my joy? Where is the hope I have in life? Everybody keeps taking it from me. I could be perfectly happy if they wouldn't say that, if she wouldn't be mean to me, if that person wouldn't be so rude, if they wouldn't insult me like that. I could be perfectly joyful if everybody would just act right. Well, yeah, I suppose so. When's that going to happen? Well, we got heaven. But short of that, I'm not sure we're going to get there. And so the Bible gives us this very practical advice. And that's one of the things, as we've studied Proverbs, we see this practicality of life. That we let stuff go. We overlook these insults. Not because it's okay they insulted us. Not because it's even wrong. Maybe they're telling us some truth that we just don't want to face sometimes and it hurts our feelings. But because our joy, our peace, our hope doesn't come from that. It doesn't come from everybody in our family, our coworkers, our friends, our associates, everybody in our community treating us the way we wanted to be treated all the time. It comes from God. And if God says that we are a beautiful creation of God, and God says that we are beloved and adored, and God has given us a purpose in life, and God has filled us with peace and with joy, and our hope doesn't come from everybody getting it right all the time. Our hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Then what does it matter if people say some things to us that we don't like? It's not that they're right. It's just that we can be above that. It's not that it's okay they do it. It's just that we can be above that. There's the old saying that the dog howls at the moon and the moon doesn't care. Sometimes we need to be reflecting the sun. Our light comes from the sun. And the dogs will howl and we don't care. That we have to be bigger than that. And we can't just build ourselves up to that. Sometimes we think, well, if I just had enough accomplishments, if I just had enough strength, if I just had enough of this or that, if I just had enough money, if I just had enough of something, then everybody would treat me better. No. Unfortunately, it is a fallen world, it is a cruel world, and there's some mean people out there. And so how do we deal with that? The Bible says the prudent thing to do is to overlook the insult. Do not react to that stuff. And not just to stew on it, and not just to suppress that, but to have our joy and our peace and the hope of our life come from the power of the Holy Spirit himself. And if we are so filled with the Spirit of God, and we are full of joy, and we're full of peace, and we're full of hope that comes from God, yeah, people are going to say things that are not very nice, and that's okay. It doesn't have to affect our joy one little bit. Doesn't have to be affect the peace we have in our life one little bit. Our hope is not in everyone being accurate or being nice. Our hope is in the Holy Spirit. Now, this won't happen overnight. You're probably not going to walk out of here and flip a switch and have perfect peace, joy, and hope, and that everything anyone says doesn't bother you at all. Don't make that an expectation. But you can work towards that. You can start praying today for that touch of the Holy Spirit to be more in your life. You can start praying every day that your peace and your joy and your hope would come from the spring of the Holy Spirit himself, just springing up in our life. And it's not dependent on all our circumstances. It's not dependent on what people say, that it comes from within because it comes from the Holy Spirit. We can start praying for that. We can start living in that. And if we did that, And over the course of time, we learn that. And we start walking in the Spirit. And we let the peace and the joy and the hope of the Holy Spirit be in us so that we're not fazed by all the stuff that people say and the little insults along the way and when people aren't nice to us. We continue in that journey of love and of peace and of joy and of hope. I think people might want that. Sometimes we talk about witnessing in the church. We talk about sharing our faith in the church. Every single person out there is trying to deal with the hurts of life. I'm not talking about the big ones. I'm talking about those little hurts that people hurt your feelings. They treat you bad. They do things that just upset you. Everyone's trying to deal with that. And if the people in your life can see, not that you're just suppressing, not that you're just picking yourself up and being tough, but that you can be calm. Not by your own standard, but by the peace and joy and the hope that comes only from God. If you can live that, what kind of testimony would that be? That's what everyone's looking for. That's what we truly need. Instead of fighting every battle with every person, whether it be out loud or in our brains, in our minds, if we could have that beautiful calm of peace and joy and hope that comes from God, not only is that a better life for us, but it teaches that when Christians face difficulties and mean-spirited people and insults, we have a better way of dealing with it. Not just being tough, not just sticking it out, but being at a plane where peace and joy and hope don't come from people. They come from God. What a beautiful testimony that would be. And so I invite you to pray about that today and to pray about that every day. Because we're going to face stuff in our families and our jobs. We're going to face people that just are not very nice. And we as Christians have to live in this fallen world. We're not going to escape this. At least for the little while that we're here in this world. But we don't have to live it out like everyone else. There is a place in God's Spirit above all of that. It won't happen overnight, but it can happen. And so let's pray for that. Let's pray that we can be a people that can live in that kind of peace, that kind of joy. What a beautiful thing that would be. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go deal with family, with people, there's going to be insults. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be things that hurt. But the Bible says we have a different way. We don't have to confront all of that. We don't have to stew about that. We can have peace and joy that's beyond that. And isn't that what we really want? Let's pray together. God, sometimes we work so hard to try to line everything up, to try to confront every insult, to make sure people treat us the right way, or maybe we flee from conflict, but we just sort of reflect on it in our own mind over and over again, and we let it just eat away at us inside. God, you don't call us to either one of those things. You call us in a very practical way to be prudent and to overlook these insults, these things that people do, not by our own strength and not by our own wisdom, but by yours, by your peace and joy and hope that comes from you. God, fill us with your Spirit in this fallen world that hurts us so often, with so many people around us that hurt us on so many occasions. Give us your peace and joy, the love and the hope that comes from you, that we're so filled with that it doesn't matter if people say things, that we are so filled with your peace, with your joy, that's what matters. And that we can just overlook the insults of life because there is something more important. We are so filled with your Spirit that it's okay what people say. Lord, in those sensitive areas of our life where we feel vulnerable, that's going to be hard for us to do. So, Lord, help us to allow you to touch us in those areas, those places in our life where we are sensitive, where we are easily hurt. Lord, fill us with that hope in those areas of life where we know when people insult us in this way, it is something that really gets to us. Lord, help us to be healed in your peace because you love us. You care for every area of our life, and you want to build us up in your strength and your peace and your love to give us your joy. Lord, may we have this as your people and your children as we come together now and lift our prayers to you.